Brother Howard, thank you very much for being here today. And I don't know about everybody else, but you blessed me. So, hey, that's all that matters, really. Brother, you blessed me this morning. Thank you very much. If you would, take your Bibles, open up to Acts. Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. For those of you that are getting hungry right about now, don't worry, we got food in the bag. Acts chapter 26. I promise I'll be done in about 3 hours. I'm just kidding. Acts chapter 26. Topic of today's message is this: are you persuaded, Christian? Are you persuaded, Christian? Acts chapter 26, we're going to read verses 1 through 29, but before we do so, let's figure out what's going on in Acts chapter 26, and I pray that the Spirit of God will help me this morning, because there's a lot to cover. Are you ready? Everybody hold on, buckle up. Here we go. The Apostle Paul has arrived in Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul has a love for his people. The Apostle Paul has a burden to see his Jewish brothers and sisters come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So Apostle Paul is back in Jerusalem, and he's got one thing on his mind. I want to share the gospel message with as many people as I can. But most importantly, I want to share it with my brothers and sisters in the Jewish faith. I want them to hear that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. So Paul comes into Jerusalem, and some Jews from Asia see Paul worshiping in the temple. And what do? They don't go, hey, look, it's Paul. First thing they do is they start a big old ruckus. They gather a big old crowd around them, and they start yelling and fussing at Paul and saying things mean and evil about Paul and just trying to get rid of Paul. Paul's here, he's talking this rubbish about Jesus, he's making trouble for our religion, he's making trouble for the law that we know. Remove Paul. Well, just down the road a little ways is a Roman garrison, a group of Roman soldiers, and a Roman commander hears that there's a ruckus going on down at the temple, so the Roman soldier and the commanders go down there and they arrest Paul. They pull him out of the crowd, because the crowd's about ready to beat him to death. They pull him out of the crowd. Really, they saved his life. They pull him out of the crowd, get him out, and go to take him in the court. And he goes, may I speak to the people? Paul actually might have said, can I please speak? Can I speak to the people? So the commander of the Roman guard says, sure, go right ahead. And Paul delivers his testimony. Paul says, look, I am Paul of Tarsus. I studied under Gamaliel. I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees, if you will. I know the law forward and backwards. But I'm here to tell you today that I was on my way to Damascus when I met Jesus Christ. Jesus met me on the way to Damascus. I had papers in my hand to persecute Christians. And Jesus met me and he knocked me to the ground. I lost physical sight, but I gained spiritual sight on the road to Damascus. Jesus saved my soul. I went into Damascus. My friends led me there, took me to the house of Ananias. Ananias placed his hands on me and healed me. I received my sight, and I got baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm saved. Jesus is the Messiah. And right then, what I believe is the worst altar call in history happened. Nobody got saved. Everybody that heard him yelled out, get rid of Paul. I bet that hurt. I bet it hurt Paul to pour out the gospel message and the people he so desperately wants to see come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They said, get rid of Paul. So Paul gets brought into the courtyard of the Roman garrison, and they're about ready to flog Paul. They're about ready to put a good beating on him for causing all this ruckus. Well, then Paul says something before they do it. Paul says, is it reasonable for you to flog a Roman citizen? And all of a sudden, commander of the guard says, what did he just say? Sir, I think he said he's a Roman. Sir, are you a Roman citizen? It cost me a lot of money to become a Roman citizen. Paul says, I was born a Roman citizen. So right then and there, things change. You can't just flog a man without a trial. Has to be a trial. So they take Paul to Caesarea. They take him before Felix, who's the governor. And Felix, well, Felix says, you know what, I think I can handle this situation. Call down Paul's religious leaders, the Sanhedrin. Call them down. And let's put on trial. So here we have on trial the Apostle Paul, the greatest evangelist ever, I believe. And then we have the Sanhedrin on the other side. And the Sanhedrin is going back and forth and talking about all these evil, vile things that Paul's doing, and that Paul's blaspheming, and that Paul is out of his mind crazy, and that Paul, we need to get rid of Paul. And then Paul gets another opportunity to defend not only himself, but to defend the gospel message which he has received. And Felix, he comes back days later with his wife Drusilla, and Drusilla's a Jew, by the way. I guess, you know, he thought maybe Drusilla could calm this down, but he brought her back, and Paul had an opportunity in front of the governor of Judea, Felix, to share with him one-on-one, because his wife was there, Paul's faith. And Felix hears Paul, hears his testimony, hears his faith, and you know what Felix does? Well, he doesn't get saved. Felix gets afraid. Obviously, something Paul said got Felix's attention. Obviously, Paul expressed that Felix was a sinner, needed to get saved and accept Jesus Christ as Lord. And Felix got afraid of the message. So you know what Felix did? He locked Paul up for 2 years. Oh, how sorry of excuses we have not to share the gospel. We're not locked up. Paul gets locked up for 2 years. Felix is like, you know what? I'm out of here in a couple of years. Put him in jail. I ain't got time for this guy. Locks him up for 2 years. 2 years he's locked up. Then comes a new governor named Festus. Festus has to clean up the trash, if you will, from the previous administration. We see that a lot now, don't we? In our own politics. You know, politics hasn't changed, by the way. People haven't changed. There's still a root to all the world's problems, and it's sin. Nothing's changed. People still the same. So Festus is the new governor, and well, now he's inherited this Paul situation, if you will, and now he's got to do something about it. Well, Festus is unable to do something about it, so he says, you know what? I need somebody a little bit higher up the chain to help me with this, so we're going to take Paul to King Agrippa. Now, if you'll pay attention, the sovereignty of God is placing Paul in a position to share the gospel with people in power. That's amazing. You never know who you're going to get the opportunity to share the gospel with. It could be your boss at work. I don't know if you know this or not, but a month and a half ago, Howard, I had the privilege to baptize my boss. And I felt that I didn't have nothing to do with it. That was all God. But God placed me in a position to where I could yield myself to Christ and yield myself to the Spirit of God and people seeing Jesus in me. And now Paul's had that opportunity with two governors, and both of them, they didn't want nothing to do with it. And now Paul is before King Agrippa. Acts chapter 26. Let's see what's about to happen. Then Agrippa, King Agrippa, said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. "King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all these accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with the Jewish customs and the controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. The Jewish people all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child. From the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem, they have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that I conformed to the strictest sect of their religion, living as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our ancestors that I'm on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. King Agrippa, it is because of this hope that these Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raised the dead? I too was convinced, thought I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priest, I put many of the Lord's people in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority of the commission of the chief priest. About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute us me? Is it hard for you to kick against the goads?" Then I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles, and I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and place among those who are sanctified by faith in name and faith in me. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and all Judea, then to those Gentiles. I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. This is why some Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But God has helped me to this very day. So I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and as the first to rise from the dead would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. "You are out of your mind, Paul," he shouted. "Your great learning is driving you insane." "I am not insane, most excellent Festus," Paul replied. "What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was done not in a corner, King Agrippa. Do you believe the prophets? I know you do." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Do you think that in such a short time can persuade me to be a Christian?" Paul replied, "Short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all those who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains." Let us pray. Father God, thank you for the Apostle Paul's willingness to share his testimony, to share the story of the truth of Jesus Christ, of who he is, what he came to do, what he'd done, and who he is right now. Paul was unashamed of being saved. Paul was unashamed of knowing Jesus Christ on a personal level, and Paul was unashamed to share the good news of the gospel with governors, with regular people, with a bunch of old nasty sinners, with the soon-to-be Caesar. Paul would share the gospel with anyone at any time, no matter what, whether faced with jail or faced with death. Father God, thank you for saving Paul on that Damascus road. Because what a godly example of the conversion power of salvation in Jesus Christ. The old Saul has passed away, is dead. And now here we have the new Paul in Jesus Christ. Father God, thank you for the Apostle Paul's example. May we be an example for others in our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Three short things I want to share with you today. I promise I won't be longer than about 3 or 4 hours. Are you persuaded, Christian? First, are you persuaded to share your testimony? Imagine if the Apostle Paul went around and never shared his testimony. Imagine if the Apostle Paul went around and didn't say anything. Knew he got saved, kept it all to himself. Imagine if the Apostle Paul said, you know what? I'm saved. Everyone else can go to hell. Praise God that the Apostle Paul shared his testimony. Every Christian has a testimony. And I often hear people say the same thing. Well, my testimony is not as good as your testimony. Can I explain something to you? You think I'm proud of the things that I've done in my life? I'm thankful that God's brought me from those things. I'm thankful that I have an opportunity to show people how far God has brought me from where I was. That was Paul. Paul says, listen up. In case I need to remind you, I'm the guy that hunted Christians. I'm the guy that went looking for people of the way. I'm the guy that wanted them dead. Men and women. All because I was wrong. And it took Christ to blind me so that I could see. The Apostle Paul was unashamed to share his testimony. Why don't we share our testimony? Are you persuaded to share your testimony? I hope you are. All I can do is what Paul did. I'm before you right now as if I'm Paul. I'm saying, listen, here's the message. Jesus saved. Jesus died for your sins. Jesus arose on the third day. Jesus now sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. It's all about Jesus. It's not about you. If there's anything about you, it's the fact that you need to get saved today. You need to repent, confess, and believe and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Die to self. Receive Christ. But I can't make anybody do anything. I can just deliver the message like Paul did. And oh, how I want everybody to get saved that I tell them about Jesus. I want it. Every time I share the gospel with somebody on a one-on-one basis, I'm like, is this it? Are they going to get saved? Are they going to receive Christ? And a lot of times, you know what they say? Well, that sounds nice. I actually had, what was it, a month ago, Bo, when we did that young men's retreat at the friendship camp? I actually had an adult come up to me after the altar call, look me dead in the face and said, you almost had me convinced. And it shook me, man. I went, what did he just say? I can't convince anybody of anything. All I can do is tell you that Jesus saved me. I'm no longer who I used to be. I could not have done this under my own power. There's no self-help book or no college course I could have took to become a pastor. God has made me into this. God is good. But are you persuaded to not only share your testimony, Share the free gift of the gospel you've been given. Are you persuaded enough to do it? Because it's your responsibility to show appreciation for the fact that you're no longer going to hell. You're on your way to heaven. Get excited about it. And yes, I know that life stinks. It does. There are some moments in my own personal life, and you can ask my wife, 3 weeks ago, where I said, I quit. I am done with this mess. I can't take it no more. I'm fed up. Nothing's working. I feel like a complete loser. And then the Spirit of God reminded me that my feelings are lies. I can't go off of how to feel. For instance, sometimes people come to church and they leave feeling good. Your feelings lie to you. If you come here to leave with a good feeling, sometimes you might not leave here with a good feeling. You might not leave here with a good feeling today, but you're going to leave here with the Word of God. And the Word of God can take those bad feelings you have and turn them into biblical truth. The biblical truth is, I have an obligation to Jesus Christ to share my testimony. Not just because I'm the pastor of Heritage Baptist Church, but because I appreciate the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for my sin in full. I'm debt free this morning, and by God, thank you, God, for freeing me from my debt. Debt free. So why not share the good news? Share your testimony. And you know, sharing testimony is a lot easier than you think it is. For instance, let's say you don't have a quote unquote good testimony. Let's say you're never drunk. You were never a drug addict. Let's say you never stole anything. Huh? Let's say you never told a lie. Let's say you are Mr. Goody Two Shoes or you're Mrs. Goody Two Shoes. Let's say you have been really good from the day you were born. Man, let's say you served out in the soup kitchen every day. Let's say you have done all these good works and you just really don't have a whole lot of bad stuff in your life to talk about. So you really just don't have a good testimony. Can I say something to you? If you're a sinner, which you are, you can share one simple testimony. I'm no longer going to hell because of my salvation in Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? That's it. That's all you got to say. Well, Kevin, I don't want to offend nobody. Well, guess what? God's offended every time we don't share our testimony. Yes, He gets offended with me all the time because I do miss opportunities. I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't. I'm not going to lie about missed opportunities because I miss them. But I do ask God for help when those opportunities arise. And if nothing more, I can say, I don't know how it works. But I can tell you, the things I used to desire because of Christ, I no longer desire. And the anxiety I used to have, I no longer have because Christ in my life. And all the worry I used to have, I no longer have because Christ in my life. And I'm not a theologian, but all I can tell you is that Jesus says, if you'll turn your life over to Jesus right now, He'll do the same for you. I can't tell you what all He's going to do in your life because I'm not psychic, but I can tell you this. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. You need to get saved. That's it. And leave the results up to God. It's not your responsibility for somebody to get saved. The Spirit of God draws people to Jesus. Now, the Spirit of God will use you to draw people to Jesus. But oftentimes, when pastors lead people to Jesus, I've heard this in my own ears, they say something like this. Man, I led 7 people to Jesus. And I just go, maybe he just said that wrong, but last I checked, Spirit of God led those people to Jesus. Now, He used you as a vessel, but know your role. You're a vessel, and you should be used by God. You should be clay in God's hands. He should mold you in the image of Jesus Christ. You should be usable, pliable, and flexible. But don't ever take credit for what God does, because you didn't save nobody. Are you persuaded to share your testimony? King Agrippa, he wasn't persuaded in such a short time that this Jesus was for real. King Agrippa was like, you almost had me. Do you know almost a Christian is fully lost and means you're destined to hell? You can't almost be a Christian. Almost Christians are the people that come to church and they're religious. Almost Christians are the people that have religion and they don't have Jesus. Let me rephrase that. Jesus doesn't have them because I don't have Jesus. Jesus has me. Jesus has me in his hands. Because see, if I had Jesus, that means I'd probably drop him. Jesus has me. Jesus holds me. Jesus holds and maintains my salvation. I cannot lose my salvation. If I could lose my salvation, I'd be a miserable wreck. I wake up every day. What I got to do today? Get my salvation back. Where'd I leave my salvation? Brother Howard, have you seen my salvation? I think I dropped it somewhere around here. Jesus holds my salvation. Are you persuaded to share your testimony? I hope you are. Are you persuaded to serve your King? Well, Brother Kevin, here you go talking about service again. That's what you're supposed to do. Paul said when you get saved, they'll know you by your deeds. We just read it. You got good deeds, you got bad deeds, or you got no deeds. I'm not saying you got to have more good deeds than you have to have bad deeds, but I'm saying there's going to be fruit in your life. There should be. Are you allowing God, the Holy Spirit of God, to use you to share your testimony? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit of God to use you for good works? I pray that you are. The Apostle Paul, Brother Bobby, you said it best this morning. If we had to earn our way to heaven, Bobby said he'd probably only get in heaven about 30 seconds. I'd probably be right at him about 30. I might be 31 seconds. That's what the flesh would say. I'd beat Bobby. Huh? If the Apostle Paul had a tremendous amount of good works and good deeds for Jesus Christ. Brother, I'm going to tell you right now, he's going to get rewarded. But do you honestly think Paul's going to come up to you when you get to heaven and go, "Hi, I'm Paul"? Just want to let you know that this 5 acres over here is full of nothing but my rewards. If you ever want to see them, come on, Howard, I'll walk you through Paul's rewards in heaven. Right here, I got this one for shaking off a snake bite. I got this other reward for surviving a shipwreck. Yep, that's me, Paul. Look at all my rewards. I guarantee you, studying Paul and knowing who Paul was, Paul is just thankful that he ever got saved in the first place. Paul is just thankful that God saved his soul. And then Paul showed that appreciation by sharing the gospel. You know, you don't have to be a Pharisee to share the gospel. You don't have to be an educated man to share the gospel, because if you read the book of Acts, chapter 3, 4, you read that how in the world can these unschooled, ordinary men do such a thing? It's because the Spirit of God seals us and fills us. Are you persuaded this morning to share your testimony? I hope you are. Are you persuaded this morning to serve your King Jesus? I hope you are. Be a witness for Him. Are you persuaded to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? I never know who my audience is. Apostle Paul, same way. There could be a lost person here in this church this morning. I do not know. So I have an obligation, just like the Apostle Paul, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Simplest verse there is in the Bible, John 3:16, does an amazing job of doing that. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son to condemn the world, but that through Him it might be saved. Simple as this. You're a sinner. You can't save yourself. God wants to give you the free gift of eternal life right now if you accept, believe in the name of Jesus. Accept the fact that you're a sinner. Believe the fact that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And confess Him as Lord and Savior. The Bible says by the mouth we confess that Jesus is Lord. Are you persuaded to share your testimony, Christian? Are you persuaded to serve your King, Christian? And are you persuaded, lost person, to receive Christ as Lord and Savior? King Agrippa might have had a little too much king in him. King Agrippa might have had a little bit too much power, a little bit too much pride, because King Agrippa denied Christ when he said, "You trying to convert me in such a short amount of time? I'm King Agrippa. I'm rich. I'm powerful. Your message sounded sweet, but it's not for me. Denying Christ is the one sin that is unforgivable. That's the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. Denying Christ. But oftentimes we Christians, we deny Him in other ways. We deny to serve Him. We deny to share our testimony. Praise God that He doesn't hold it against us when we fail Him. But you know what? When I get to heaven and I get before the judgment seat of Christ, I know that there's going to be some stubble burned away. Brother Howard, there's going to be some stuff that I did for myself. It's going to be burned away. But there's probably, hopefully, going to be one or two or three precious jewels of service that Jesus is going to reward me for. But the only reward I really look forward to is just hearing, "Well done, my faithful servant." Are you that person? Christian, are you persuaded this morning to share your testimony, to serve your Lord, and to be a faithful servant to Jesus? I hope you're convinced. I hope I persuaded you. All I can do is turn it over to God. The message was delivered. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You for Apostle Paul's willingness just to share the gospel, to tell people the good news. Jesus saves. That is good news. That is so good news. The good news that my sins are paid for. I don't have to die on a cross. I don't have to go to hell. Jesus paid my sin debt. I'm debt free this morning because of Jesus Christ. If you're listening to this message right now, I know you've heard the gospel message. I know you've heard that you're a sinner and you need the forgiveness of sins. And the only person that ever lived a perfect life, a perfect sinless life, was Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God. He paid your sin debt. And with mere, simple, childlike faith, you too can receive the free gift of life, eternal life, in Jesus Christ by accepting, believing, and confessing. It's that simple. God wants to save you this morning. Won't you let Him?